Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be your sons and daughters, and that's most fundamentally our identity. But Lord, you also call us to share in being a prophet, a priest, and a king. Lord, we pray that as today we look at being prophets, that you'll open our eyes to understand your word and help us, Lord, to fulfill that which you've called us to. As we ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. That's a pretty encouraging word, isn't it? It's a word of Amos to a priest who is speaking on behalf of the king of Israel. And you don't really, it's kind of, if you will, it brings back this image of an Old Testament prophet. They tend to not be very cheerful most of the time. They tend to, they tend to speak against the rulers, the people. Not always, but many, many times they do. So let's first look at a few images of a prophet. So if we can just go ahead. It's a kind of classic. I just did the standard thing. I went to Google Images and searched on prophet and said, well, what will I get? And of course, there was a variety. But here's one kind of classic. This man, bearded, and then with words, tablets, writing. Let's go on to the next one. Another one, kind of gaunt, bearded man, and he is proclaiming the word of God. Does not look very happy. This would not quite make a nice Facebook picture for him. Hi, I'm the prophet. You know, here are a few pictures of me prophesying. Let's go on to the next one. Here's another one, a man who is writing or reading, studying God's word. He's a man of God's word. I like this one a little better, if you will, as a picture of a prophet. The next one, this is actually a picture of Amos, or a drawing of Amos, the prophet looking over the city. I thought it's quite a good one. It sees him just the back of him, looking at the city, mourning, weeping over it. He's not enjoying his word that he's proclaiming. Next one. It's another one of Amos, in the image he sees, Amos the shepherd. He says, I was just a shepherd. I didn't ask for this job. So that's Amos. Okay, let's go on. A few pictures as well of John the Baptist. We heard about John the Baptist. Here, these are from movie pictures. And again, I think they would capture something of the essence of who John was. Again, a man who's clothed in robes of camel's hair, not very well kept. He did not go to the barber very often. In fact, he was called a Nazirite, which means one who would, part of his being a Nazirite would be not cutting his hair. Let's go on to the next one. Another movie image of John. Again, this kind of a little bit wild-eyed, but, here's he's smiling at least. That's kind of nice. Let's go on to the next one. And here's John the Baptist baptizing. Another picture, an image of a prophet. Okay, next one. Finally, John the Baptist. Again, here he's kind of wondering, who is this Jesus? Okay. Next one. Another prophet. I can't resist throwing Luther in whenever I throw it. I mean, Luther was a man who spoke God's word and brought this eternal word of God to make it a now moment. He said, God's word commands these things, and we're not doing them. And I would call Luther a prophet. Next one. I'm going to go a little more modern now. Mother Teresa. I would call Mother Teresa a prophetess. She was not afraid to speak God's word to kings and rulers and presidents. I remember especially when she spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast. And the then current president was there with his wife. And she spoke about the evils of abortion. And she said, I really feel sorry for this country. I really feel sorry for this country because it doesn't know what love means. And she said, give me the babies you don't want. I want them. She was one who was willing to speak God's word to rulers and kings. Next one. Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu, I just returned from South Africa. Was there on business. Desmond Tutu was a remarkable, still is, a remarkable man. He's still living. Anglican priest and bishop spoke out against the evils of apartheid. One of my favorite quotes from Desmond Tutu was that during a time in Soweto was just simply the southwest township of Johannesburg. It's one of the little things I learned when I was there. And after there was a kind of time where they were starting to move toward out of the apartheid movement. The apartheid movement was simply a segregation of black from white. And it was a segregation in ownership of land, where you could live, what kinds of jobs you could have. And during this kind of change was a time of tumult. And black people were being killed by fellow blacks over the controversy. And the length and hopelessness of that controversy was remarkable. People were just saying, we don't know. Is this ever going to change? So the day after the funeral of 42 people massacred in one of these townships, this black archbishop was asked, Bishop, why do you continue to hold out hope for a peaceful solution to this crisis? His unforgettable answer was, because I'm a Christian, and a Christian is a prisoner of hope. So Desmond Tutu, a prisoner of hope. Next slide, please. Billy Graham, a modern day prophet. He again looks kind of a little bit like a prophet as he's gotten older, still alive, very much one to speak to rulers and kings. Okay, finally, I'll put him, just a little fun, Phil Robertson. He kind of looks like a prophet. It is kind of funny because some people actually consider him, because he's not afraid to speak about what God's word says. Not at all. Even on a reality TV show, even almost getting it canceled, because he simply says, I believe in what God's word says. So I'd kind of include him a little bit as a prophet. Okay, thank you. So we've looked and said, what is a prophet? And I think we have a little bit more of an understanding here. And I think we understand a little bit more about who a prophet is. Amos was a shepherd. He was minding his own business. And God called him and said, I want you to speak a word. I think all of us are called to be prophets. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the greatest prophet, Jesus. But what's the message? As I said earlier, it's taking this eternal word and making it a now word. I once said to President Hoseman, he was the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Michigan District, predecessor to President Meyer, we were in a meeting and we were talking about the charismatic renewal. And he said, you know, yeah, one of the problems that we often have, he was pretty moderate man. He's, you know, not trying to tackle controversy. He says, yeah, but one of the problems we've often had is the charismatic's approach to the prophecy. So he says, it's kind of usurping the Word of God. And I said, well, actually, President Hoseman, I think pastors, when they take the eternal Word of God and make it a now word, they're in the prophetic office. That's what you're doing. You're taking something and you're saying, here's the situation. And this is what God says. This is what God's Word says, but it's important now. John the Baptist had a very similar message. He took the eternal Word of God and said, repent, because God's kingdom is at hand. God's kingdom is right now. And so we take that eternal word and say, right now, there's a call to repent. There's a call to change. There's a call to stand. There's a call to hope. That's the message. And Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet, he was the greatest prophet, the greatest priest, and the greatest king, had that eternal word and makes it very personal. Not just speaking to the crowd, but speaking to the woman caught in adultery, speaking to the woman who was healed, speaking to the leper, saying, your sins are forgiven. Now. Right now. So how does this apply to us? I've got some bad news for you. It applies to all of you. And it's no fun being a prophet. There is no profit in being a prophet. There are false prophets that might try to gain, but most true prophets don't have a lot of fun in their lives, because they're willing to take that eternal word of God and apply it. Now, they don't do it in a vacuum. It's the good news here. We're not called to be prophets in this solo fashion. I think we might misinterpret sometimes the Old Testament prophets to kind of think, oh, they're off on their own. In fact, the New Testament's pretty careful about saying, prophecy is done within the body. And then it's proclaimed by the body. And so Christians now, in this day and age, are being called to bring forth a prophetic message. To take that eternal word of God and say, God's word is unchanging. It applies now. It's something that we believe and that we hold fast to. And we learn how to speak it graciously. We imitate Jesus, who is not afraid to call sin sin, but also was not afraid to call the sinner to him. That's what we're doing. We're taking that eternal word and we're saying, people, God's word is true. And it's a word of repentance. It's It's a word of change. It's a word of hope. It's a word that transforms people. So let's not get into our prophetic mindset of doom and gloom and thunder. Let's get into a prophetic mindset of calling people to repentance and to hope. Then we're going to be in that prophetic mindset, in that prophetic stream that God calls us to be. There's something, I think, this for all of us, some of us more than others, to kind of proclaim that message. It's okay. We're all part of a body. And let's respond to that word that the Lord gives us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us many examples of prophets. Lord, we thank you especially for the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit who gives us the word, who makes us into prophets, who makes us ready to prophesy, prophesying words of repentance and of hope. Make us prophets, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name.